Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm associate pastor and interim youth pastor here at the church, Brock Williamson. Gonna get to share this morning. I'm excited. This message, there was this biblical principle that I felt like the Lord had put on my heart. And I was wading through it and through some of my daily reading and things like that that I've been doing. And there was all this stuff. But then it all came to this culminating moment on Wednesday before youth started. A family in our church asked me to listen to their son, quote, Bible quiz. And he quoted this chapter. And I was like, yo, this is exactly what I've been pondering and going through and thinking about. So it was perfect timing in congruence with these other Bible verses that I was reading in Romans and in Corinthians and these things. But he quoted from a place in Galatians, which we'll get to. That's not where we're going to start, but in Galatians. Where we're going to start this morning is a warning that we were given in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. This is a wonderful warning for all of us to beware of false prophets. And what I'm going to tie this into in Galatians, there are times, well, when we hear this, we often think about this up here, the pulpit, the microphone. We think about the false prophets that step on a stage that we need to beware of. And I am not saying you shouldn't be. Yes, you should beware of false prophets that stand upon stages. But a prophet isn't strictly the person that stands up before you on a Sunday. There are people that speak forth into your life that have your ear. We need to be aware of that. Because prophecy is not just being a prophet, and prophecy is not just only for the few that get up and preach. No. A gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Prophecy. Something we're given. It's not just the fortune telling of the future, right? That's one of the misconceptions of it, is it can come that way of prophesying of what is to come, but it is to speak forth truth. And there are times where why it's so important to know about the wolf in sheep's clothing is because they will say things that sound like truth. They will say things that might even be rooted in the Word. What are you talking about? Jesus tempted. When he was tempted, right? And the enemy came to tempt him. Used Scripture to lure him to do things he was not to do. So it doesn't mean everyone, every single person who reads from the Word of God, well, they're a holy prophet. You can take a lot of verses out of context and do a lot of things. There's plenty of cults in history that have done so. So we need to be careful of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And how this ties into Galatians in chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 11. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. The elderly say, thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, sorry, the large font. Okay, sorry, bad joke. I'm grateful because I don't wear my glasses, though I probably should be. Anyway, I have them, I just don't put them on. Okay. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. We're going to pause. We're going to continue reading in chapter 6, but we're going to pause there and see the wolf in sheep's clothing that he's talking about. Because there's the law of Moses that circumcision is holy and important. It's a ritual. It's a physical thing that you must do to keep in step with the law. Who he's writing to is the legalistic people that only focus on the law. But there's an interesting point to be made, is that they're doing this to people around them, teaching them, no, you need to follow this law. You need to do this so that they look good because of their followers. They're trying to be a tree and force good fruit. So the world can look at them, the people can look at them, other Christians can look at them, and they can be seen as good trees. It's not that the law is wrong, but to utilize it in such a way is. To force this conviction, to force this law, to avoid persecution. Now we need to go into the context of the time. The Romans and taking over and all this stuff that was happening, there was certain religions that were approved by the authorities that be back then. And the Jewish culture was one of those approved. You're not to persecute them. To fall underneath that, to fall underneath the Jewish base of belief, you had to be circumcised. So these people that were preaching the cross, if you only preach the cross, you were to be persecuted. But they added the law so that they wouldn't be persecuted. So they were forcing this political thing into this so that all the political games and everything that was surrounding it to avoid persecution. So instead of saying that just the cross saves you, you must also be circumcised. You must also have this. You must also follow the law. So understanding that context, let's continue on. As for me, in verse 14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. We'll pause there because he continues on to just say goodbye. He's telling us something here, and there's other places in Scripture that reference this, in Romans and in other places, that reference the law of faith is what saves, not the law of Moses or these laws of the Old Testament. It was not that the law is pointless and does not serve a purpose, but it is not by which we are saved. We are not saved by our good works. We are not saved by good deeds. We are not saved by anything we can do. We are saved by the gift of Jesus Christ, his grace and his mercy, dying upon the cross. But see, there was people that would come in and they would talk about this. They would talk about the cross. They would talk about this. But they would filter in the law of Moses and say, you have to uphold this. And there's some of us in here as Christians who are teaching other Christians the same thing. we take somebody under our wing and we start to teach them about the Word of God, but then we start to slide in things that allow us to boast, that allow us to be proud, to be filled with pride, to look good to others. And we slowly become the wolf in sheep's clothing. It is not just a false prophet who stands on a stage and preaches on a Sunday. It is a false prophet for anybody who bears falsely about God's word and shares that as if it's truth. This is why we have to be careful when we are doing this. And I'm going to get to how we discern these things and so on. Focus on what I'm telling you now is New Life Church. I'm going to speak for us for a moment. We are not here to preach messages to you so you can go into the community and act right so that New Life looks good. We are here to preach messages that, like it says, circumcision or uncircumcision does not matter. Are you a new creation? And that new creation will be a testimony of the cross, and that is why we are here, to be a new creation. So for no moment get it twisted that you listen to, or we want you to listen to these messages so you stop acting silly. We'll put it in nice terms. Living in sin. That is a byproduct of becoming a new creation. Anybody can pretend. Just look in the mirror. There's things in our life we pretend. There's things in our life that we keep it together and put it together and put on a brave face or make it look like this and that and the other. But the reality is this. There are some of you in this room with an incredible testimony of where you were and where you've become, but you are so ashamed and won't talk about all that stuff to save face because people will look at me differently if they knew what I used to do or what I had done or all these different things. And we hide this away and we pretend and we act right. This church is not meant to look good. It's not meant to look good. Our chairs should be filled with sinners saved by the grace of God. I am not preaching a message to give you license to break the law or license to continue sinning. That will change if we become a new creation. But to pretend and to not become a new creation and to be the same person and show up on a Sunday and look like I got it right, and when I see people in public, I act like I got it right. I post the Bible verses on social media so I look like I got it right. But nothing internally is changing. You are being led astray, whether it be by yourself or by a wolf in sheep's clothing, telling you that you have to uphold the law so that you look good. Like it says, it only appeases the world. It only appeases the flesh. To become a new creation is what matters. To be transformed, to be born again. And that is what we teach, and that is what we preach. So the question is, why are you here? Why do you come to church? I'm telling you this because, again, I don't want to just speak for pastor. But the reason we preach, the reason we dive into his word, the reason why we do this is so that we don't stay the same. Not just act better, but I am a different person. Why do I need to be a different person? Because we were all born into sin. And when we're born into sin, we are alive in sin, which is why he talks about, I'm crucified to the world. So when the world comes knocking, I'm dead. And the world is crucified to me. So when I go knocking, it is dead to me. Like the other place in Scripture that teaches us, dead to sin, alive in Christ. Living things react. If somebody poked you in the eyeball, you'd react. But we all remember when we were kids, if we had a good childhood, poking a fish's eyeball after it was in the bucket for a while, it did not react. I remember, I don't know why, maybe I'm weird, but every time my dad shot a deer, what does the eyeball feel like? And you know what? People have been doing this for generations. How do I know this? Because caribou have a little fat deposit behind their eyeball that you can eat for extra calories, and it tastes like pizza dough. And Inuit hunters from years and years ago would do that to help give them energy to pack it out. So see, people have been poking the eyeballs for a long time. It's not just me, all right? Fun fact for the day. But see, it's not going to respond because it's dead. It's unalive. So when sin comes a knocking, when temptation is at the door, when the actions that I used to do show up and the opportunity is there, I am no longer home. I am not here. I don't need to do that. I don't need to act like that because I am no longer alive to fits of anger. I am no longer alive to pride. I am no longer alive to lust, greed, covetousness, comparison. I'm no longer alive to these things. I'm alive to God and His Word. So when He comes in and He's the one knocking and He's the one presenting something, it is actually resonating within my soul, not just going in my ear, staying in my brain so I can look good in front of you. There's a note to this. There's a note to this that it was, like I said, rooted in some political manner. They were avoiding, they were trying to dodge the persecution and play by the loopholes and do all this stuff and politically motivated so it wouldn't stir drama and that they would be safe. And that they would push a legalistic point of view. There's a place in Scripture that talks about the irony of people that would preach a legalistic point of view. Because me and you rock. If me and you were legalists, I don't know if that's a technical term. If we were legalists and we were preaching legalisticism, legalism, okay? If we were preaching that, you know the irony of that? Are you Jewish? I didn't think so. Neither am I. Neither am I. So if I wanted to stand up here and preach legalism, I'd be preaching my own condemnation because by the law, only Jews would be saved. Not the Gentile. So it's ironic that we would get lost in legalism, that we would practice, well, that law doesn't apply. There's context and there's this and that. It's the same argument people make to accept homosexuality. Why certain things are allowed and some things aren't. There's context and there's this and that and the other. Oh, so now we're just doing what they do, but we criticize them and burn them at the stake. But we're doing the same thing when we preach a legalistic mindset. Understand, I am not talking about sin. Sin is sin, and there's no way around it. What I'm talking about is the legalistic side of rituality. Rituality, maybe that's a word. The rituals of things. You're going to learn a lot of new words today. If you play Scrabble, just know you'll win by my rules. All right? Brockisms. There you go. Uh-oh, that sounds like Gobism. Oh, that's not good. Full circle. Okay. But really, it was so focused on the looking good, so focused on the I'm doing this for show. Am I actually worshiping? The attitude of the heart is worship, or am I just lifting my hands so I look good? Am I just sitting in the seat on Sunday so I could tell people I go to church? Call myself a Christian, but am I truly transformed and changed? So we need to beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Because the political note of this is interesting this day and age, because there's fads left and right. I didn't mean that in the political context. I meant willy-nilly. There's fads. What's popular, what's not? I think in the political climate, we can look however many years ago, what was popular? What things to say? What things to do? And that shifted quite a bit in the last year or so. And some of us are very proud of that. Right? We need to be careful because politics, there's not really a place for that in the sense of arguing and saying politics is what gets us into heaven. It's a different form of legalism. I'm not here to take a stance left, right, middle, whatever. I'm here to tell you that you need to be careful. You are called to be sons and daughters of God and to preach the gospel, not preach your political views. Now, if there's a political view that is against God's word, then absolutely, I'm going to stand against it, but I'm not going to stand against it because I align left or right. I'm going to stand against it because the truth of God's word. So stop identifying with your politics. Identify for who paid for you. Who bought you, who owns you, whose kingdom we are in. And if you don't like that name, just like if I wouldn't have liked my name growing up, well, there's the door. Understand that. It's the Pharisees and Sadducees and the wolves in sheep's clothing that preach circumcision, that preach so many other things, saying that is how you get into heaven. And it was motivated by politics, and it was motivated by this, that, and the other, to appease the world. We get so lost being led astray by people who will use God's word to manipulate you to go on some political war tirade. I'm not in a political war. I'm in a spiritual one. And if that means I'm against abortion, it's because of God's word. It's not because I'm Republican. Because I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Whether it's legal or not, by the law of the land, people will still do it. Do you understand that? The things that we vote for in this country, and it is important, I believe in voting, and I believe by doing what your right as a citizen is to do. I'm not speaking against any of that. What I'm telling you is this, that if you want to see change in this country, preach the gospel. If you want to see people change their ideals and their points of view, and their principles. There is no greater place to get your principles and ideals than God's word. And no one, no one can stand against that. So be careful that you're not a wolf in sheep's clothing. That you're adding a bunch of asterisks to being a Christian that are legalism, that are laws, that are, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. You can't be like that. You got to be like this. You can't be like that. Got to be like this. Because in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 2, it talks about someone who lives by the Spirit cannot be judged, but they can judge all things. In the context of this verse and what it's talking about is those that live by the Spirit of God, you are able to look at things and discern whether or not they are of God or not. Discern between right or wrong. So you can judge these things for yourself. How do we know the false prophet? How do we know what's right, what's wrong? Am I being led astray? By discerning through the Holy Spirit. Part of being in tune with the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth, the Bible says. All truth is the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is giving you directions for somewhere you're not. Thanks, Shirley. I'm glad somebody understood it. I thought I spoke too fast. Because there's some things that you don't even need discernment for. You just need to read. It's one of my favorite quotes. If you want to hear what God is saying, read your Bible. If you want to hear what he's saying out loud, then read your Bible out loud. We need to spend time in his word, understanding what truth actually is. Truth is not relative. It is absolute, and his word is the truth. What he says is the truth. And we could be led astray, and we can fall for the wolf in sheep's clothing. One, because of ignorance. Well, get in the word. Two, because it scratches something that we already are familiar with. Well, I kind of already had that belief, or I already had that. Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And then we become a warrior in the army of the person that discipled us and not a warrior in the army of God. And we start pushing our own agenda, and we start pushing our own asterisks on the cross and, the cross and, the cross and. The combating of this legalistic point of view is super important, and we need to make sure that we're not being prophets of it, because it is the cross, period. And from there, there is the transformation, and there is the new creation that comes forth through the process of sanctification. And through that process, guess what? Their attitudes, lives, practices, actions, words will change. If you are a Christian and there is nothing in your life right now that is challenging you, I would question it. Because the only way that we don't need to change something is if we are perfect. And I don't think we are. And so there should almost always be something that the Holy Spirit is working on in us to change and transform. And guess what? Sometimes that is a very guttural experience. It's a very hard thing to do. I don't know if I really want to let that go. I don't know if I feel that way. Feelings don't matter. What is his word saying? What is God doing in your life? And this is how we become a new creation. The moment we start adding asterisks is to make up for, like he said, those that are pushing the law don't even keep the entire law themselves. A lot of times why we start adding laws and preaching that to others is because we know we are falling short. So then we start adding laws to make us feel good. We start adding things. Well, I abstain from that, but that's fine that you do that. And we start making ourselves feel good. The argument over food sacrificed to idols. Should we eat? Should we not eat? They go through this. Why? Because people were saying, don't eat the food sacrificed to idols. That's unholy. These people weren't keeping the entire law themselves. They were doing it so they could feel good and feel holier than thou. Not all, some. There is a message about personal conviction in there. And if you feel convicted by something, don't do it. But it is not up to us to boast in that. That's what it's talking about. If there was people that felt like you should be circumcised, it was not their place to boast in it and say, well, this is holier than... Need to be careful. Because there's a lot of people that you're listening to that seem like they are in the same boat as you. That they are from the same point of view as you. That they have the same beliefs as you. And they might even quote scripture. But they're adding a bunch of asterisks to the way people should live. How do I know this? Because I've heard them talk. I listen to the news too. I see the clips from all the political sides. That is not where you should be getting your spiritual food from. Sure, be informed. Sure, listen to the facts. Listen to the statistics. Listen to these things. That's fine. But don't let it change the truth of God's word. Don't let it change and add asterisks on the way people, well, no, you got to be this way. You got to be this way. You got to add this. You got to do this. You got to do that. Legalism will kill us as a church. Why? Because when we're legalistic, we think we're holy. So we're not looking at our flaws. Well, if we're not looking at our flaws and we don't see the sin in our life and we think we're holy, then why do we need a Savior? And then we start living by our own strength. And those are the ones that the Lord might just say, I never knew you. You knew the law, but you didn't know God. You didn't know his heart. You were not a new creation. You were just a law-abiding citizen. Don't teach others that. That's not what we teach here. We teach new life and new creation by the cross. There is no works. There is no nothing. There is no nothing. No nothing. If I add one more negative, does it make it positive? I don't know. There's not a single other thing that could be added to that. There's a process of sanctification? Yes. The robber that was on the cross next to Jesus, and he reprimanded the other one for making fun of Jesus, and he said, don't do that, for he's Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the one. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. There was no record of him upholding the law. There was only a record of him breaking the law, but believing in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You see, when we become a new creation, the old will pass away. It's part of the process. I am not preaching a message against the law. I am not saying that the law is bad. How we wield it and how we uphold it and how we talk about it and how we teach it, that's where we can get messed up. The law is still the law and sin is still sin. There's no way around that. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. to be alive in Christ, we cannot be afraid of the persecution of the message of the cross. And one of your greatest testimonies, I don't know if you felt this way before, I have, still living in the same town that I went to high school in. If people knew me in high school, they maybe would have been surprised that I was a believer in the Lord. It wasn't like I was the worst, but I definitely made some mistakes, and very public mistakes that were downright sinful. Well, then the next day, how do you show up and say, hey, come to church with me? One, it's a reason why we should let the old pass away and become a new creation and not live that way. Two is this. It's good that they saw me sin, because now if they see me, they see that I'm a new creation. So don't be ashamed, and don't be afraid of the persecution. So don't change things or water it down so that you're not persecuted. Stand for what is right. I don't know if you need to be reminded of this, but you are the one with the answer. Stop acting like you don't. Stop being blown in the wind by everybody else in this world asking questions. Well, the creation story and this and that. Well, the Old Testament, I don't know, and the Gilgamesh and the da-da-da-da-da. You know, leave it up to Wes Huff. All I got is Jesus died for me and my testimony. And Scripture says we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's all you need. So live it out, and don't add asterisks and make it difficult and all these different things, politically or otherwise. We want to see this church full of sinners. Oh, that person comes to New Life? Whoa. Good. We want to see you, by our own name, create a new life. We don't preach this so that you can act right, but so that you can have a deep, founded relationship with God and become a new creation. Legalism has no room here. You can stand up with me all over this room. I want you to go and take away from this, one, to look into your life and see where the wolf in sheep's clothing is, the podcast, the YouTube, the friends, the conversations we have. Be careful what we ingest. Two, I want you to look at what you have been living and teaching to others. Have you added the asterisks? Have you been judgmental? I also want you to take away from this that what God actually wants from you. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants to draw you close, and he wants to see you transformed and renewed and transformed into a new creation. I'm sorry if anybody told you he wanted your money, or he wanted you to jump through this hoop or that hoop or this hoop or that hoop and this and that and the other. I'm sorry. He wants you. On that journey, sanctification, things will change. We will give up things. Sure. But as we go on that journey, it comes from a place of love in him, and now it becomes easy. Or maybe not easy, but it's more understandable, and I'll slowly get there. So let the Lord work in your life. Let the new creation that is you be a testimony to those around you of the gospel and the good news.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.